friends, and welcome back to the fourth and final episode of She Is Me. And this week we're going to be looking at the Bible character of Rachel. Who was she and how does she identify with me? Well, Rachel is another character with various seasons of her life that we could jump into. We're first introduced to Rachel in Genesis 29, where she's described as a very attractive young woman. Probably the story we're most familiar with her is the tangled love triangle between Rachel, her husband Jacob, and her sister Leah. We know from scripture that Jacob loved Rachel, but she struggled to conceive a child. Whilst her sister Leah, she seemed to be popping babies out every year. And this caused conflict between the two women because each wanted what the other had. Leah wanted the love of her husband, but did not have it. And Rachel wanted the babies of her husband, but could not have them. I already can hear you say, yes. She is like me, for I too always seem to want what somebody else has got and I never seem to have it. There is a beautiful scripture in this story where it says that God opened up Rachel's womb. She conceived a child and we know that child to be Joseph, but sometime later Rachel got pregnant again and this time the pregnancy was complicated. And when she went into labor with her second son, things did not go according to plan. And for all of you mothers out there who've ever made birthing plans only to find it all goes out the window when you're actually in the throes of labor, you could probably identify with this. Rachel had a particularly difficult time in a day and an age where there were no hospitals. She probably gave birth in the back of a caravan or in a tent. There was no epidurals, there was no gas or air, and no backup plan to help with complications. There would have been no surgeon at hand to give her an emergency cesarean, and therefore it was often the case that women could die during a difficult birth. And sadly, this was Rachel's story. It was during this difficult birth, when she was in her greatest pain, that her state of mind would have been one of grieving whilst she was pushing, probably realizing that she's not even going to live to see this child grow. It was during this time that she named the baby she gave birth to, she named him Ben-Oni, which in Hebrew means son of my sorrow. She was naming the future of a child from the experience she was having today. And I want you to think about that for a moment, because this is where we can say, oh yeah, she is me. Because I think it's really common for us to allow our pain and our frustration or our heartbreak to speak for us. We, like Rachel, we name things out of a place of pain. We give unwholesome language to the things that we are called to love and bless. Because when we feel pain, we speak in the moment, forgetting that there is a future to come. So we find ourselves calling our spouse or calling our children, or saying words to our friends, or giving names out of a place of anger or frustration or guilt or grief. We call the people who are most precious to us the most hurtful and critical names, not realizing how our words shape our future. I've said it before and I'll say it again, where your words go, your life follows. We so easily forget how powerful words are. When God created the world, he didn't use anything other than his words. He didn't speak at what he saw. He spoke at what he wanted it to be, and it became. So he looked at a dark mass and he didn't start describing how bad the dark mass was, but rather he looked at the dark mass and he spoke light and life into its place. And scripture tells us that darkness gave way to light. And when we do the same, the same thing happens. Darkness gives way to light. If your marriage is passionless or feels lost and loveless, you can either talk about how miserable it is, or you can start to speak words of life into that barren place. If you call it what you see it, then you're holding it captive to where it is. But if you speak in a way that you desire it to be, the future will follow the direction your mouth speaks. This is not about being in denial. It's about being able to admit the truth, know the facts, but also make a choice that just because this is how it is today doesn't mean it's going to remain this way in my future. Rachel's husband, Jacob, is outside the tent when she is giving birth, and he hears her name the baby, Ben-Omi. And he immediately rushes into the tent and he says, "No, no, this boy will not be called Ben-Omi, but his name will be Benjamin, which means son of my strength." I love how the father steps into the equation to change the narrative. He hears Rachel speaking from a place of anguish and pain, and he brings clarity and perspective. This boy has a future, and he came into being from the strength of your body. So we will name him in remembrance of your strength and not in remembrance of your sorrow. For whatever you name him today, he will take into his tomorrow. And I don't want the memory of pain to follow him around for the rest of his life. I'd rather strength be the reputation that pursues this one. You know, when you're in a place of pain and when you're experiencing heartbreak and difficulties and looking at a situation that seems like a dead end or a relationship that's in ruins, let me encourage you. That's the time to let the Father speak rather than allowing your feelings to speak. You see, he sees your situation from a different perspective. He can see into your tomorrow. You only know your today. He can see around the corner you haven't even approached yet. He sees you on the other side of the disappointment you're facing. He knows what life looks like beyond that failure. So how do we let the Father speak? Well, we pick up the Word of God and we begin to read and speak what the Word says instead of only ever talking about what we see. He wants us to speak hope. He wants to speak hope, sorry, into your hopelessness. He wants to turn your dead end into a new beginning. He wants to give you strength for your weakness. He wants to give you purpose to your pain. So be careful how you use your mouth. Don't speak in a moment of anger or let frustration fly from your lips. Take time to seek God and ask him, "What is it you want me to say? What is it you have to say about what I'm facing today?" Remember Rachel, she is no different to you. If you have a tendency to speak from a place of hurt or disappointment, just stop for a moment and think how differently your future might be if you listen to the Father's voice and allow his word to speak into your tomorrow. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this series of She Is Me. I hope it's helped and strengthened you in some way. Thank you for listening to Braveheart Talks. Please like, subscribe, share this message with a friend, and join me next week as we start a brand new series called The Things I Struggle With. We're going to look at some of the narratives that we believe about ourselves that actually limit the way we live our everyday lives. Let's call them out for what they are and look at how we can bring about those small changes that will make a big difference to your life.